Good evening. Welcome again to one of our Wednesday devotionals at Blenheim Evangelical Church. I hope you're all doing well. I hope you're managing to stay fit and healthy. I wish you that every time that we have one of these online things now. But pray that that's the case, that we're getting through this, and that we're hopefully coming to see some daylight at the end of it. Well, during lockdown, I've heard of lots of people learning new skills. You know, some people have learned a new language. Some people have learned new musical instruments. Me, I've grown a beard. Well, part of a beard, and then shaved it off again and then tried again. But people have been making the best of their time. And I came across an example this week of a guy who was learning to play the bagpipes. Now, I have to confess, I thought that was a bit of a strange instrument to choose, really. It's one of those instruments, a bit like the violin, I suppose, that until you've been playing it for about 10 years, even your mother doesn't want to listen to you play. It's, you can make a horrible noise with the bagpipes, even when you play it well. It's not the most appealing of instruments. It got me thinking. It got me Googling, actually, this week. Now, I have no intention of learning the bagpipes, but I still went to find out a bit about bagpipes. And I found this, that the Queen apparently gets woken up in the morning by a bagpiper. If she's staying at Balmoral, wherever she's in Scotland, she has a bagpiper, a personal bagpiper, who wakes her up in the morning, playing under her window. Bagpipes apparently were banned in the 1700s in Scotland because they were seen as an instrument of war. I can understand that, I think. They terrify the living daylights out of people, I would have thought. There's a difference, apparently, between Scottish and Irish bagpipes, and there's a particular difference between Scottish, Irish and Middle Eastern bagpipes. The bagpipes have been played in the Middle East for thousands of years, actually. And it made me wonder, is there a reference in the Bible to bagpipes? Well, it turns out there is. It turns a bit on which translation you're using, but I came across one, and that's in Daniel chapter 3. In the story of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and the fiery furnace, which I'm guessing many of us are familiar with, but we're going to have a look at briefly tonight. So let's pray together, and then we're going to read the whole of Daniel chapter 3. It's quite a long chapter, so bear with me. I'm reading it from the NIV, because the ESV, the English Standard Version. That's because the word that is translated pipes in the NIV is actually translated bagpipes in Daniel chapter 3. So let's pray together, and pray that God would be with us as we come to his word, as we gather together, albeit in different places, but that we gather around his word together. And that that he would meet with us and speak to us and open our hearts. And that this would be a blessing and an encouragement and a challenge to each one of us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we gather to the living God. We gather to the one who is not just on the circle of the universe, but meets us where we are and in the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Lord, strange circumstances as they are for many of us at the moment. We thank you that you're a God who knows and you're a God who sees. We pray, Lord, that as we gather, that you would speak to us, bless us, meet with us, challenge us, open our hearts, and may we be obedient to you. Give us hearts to be doers of your word and not hearers only. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, Daniel chapter 3, reading from verse 1. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, the governors and the councillors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, the governors and the councillors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and the herald proclaimed, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning furnace. Therefore, as soon as the peoples heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe and every kind of music, all the peoples of the nations and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of Babylon, over the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your God or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well, all well and good. But if you don't worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace, because the king's order was urgent. And the furnace overheated. The flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counsellors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see 4 men. Unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came to the door of the fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counsellors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of these men. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. And no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own god. Therefore I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks against anything against the god of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other god who is able to rescue in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar reigned in Babylon about 600 BC. That's about 2,600 years ago. And he set up this image, a golden image, and commanded that everyone worshipped it. And when the band played, and I'm not going to go through all those instruments again, when the band played, everyone had to bow down and worship this image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Well, there's an old saying, isn't there? He who pays the piper calls the tune. Well, who was literally paying the piper that day? Well, it was King Nebuchadnezzar. He was calling the shots. He was paying the piper. He was putting up the money. He expected everybody to do what he wanted them to do. And what he wanted them to do was to worship this image that he has set up. He even said, "Who can deliver people from my hand? Who can deliver anyone from my hand?" He was a bit of an egomaniac, Nebuchadnezzar. Apparently all the bricks in his palace had his name stamped on them. It was a call to bow down and worship other gods. Now that was a problem for the devout Jews. Yahweh was their God. Yahweh had said, "You shall worship no other God." In Exodus chapter 20, he says these words, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commands." But when they were commanded to bow down, when the band played, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego wouldn't do it. They said, "Our God is able to deliver us, but whatever, even if he doesn't, we will not serve your gods." This is what they said: "If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. He will deliver us from your hands, O king. He will deliver us from your hands." The king had asked the question, "Who shall deliver them from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego gave him the answer. "He will deliver us from your hands. And come what may, we won't bow down. We will not disobey our God. We will not worship an idol." Well, they were thrown into the flames, and we read that extraordinary account that the men who threw them into the flames were burned up themselves. They were killed. But King Nebuchadnezzar saw something extraordinary, and the three men that were thrown into the flames became four men. Didn't we just throw three men into the flames? Well, there are four men, and the fourth is like a son of the gods. Well, this is another one of those theophanies that we've talked about. It's another one of those appearances of God in the flesh. It's another one of those appearances, because God only ever appears as his son. This is Jesus. Before he became Jesus, before he came into the world in Bethlehem, this is the eternal Son of God. And he's right there in the flames with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Well, he could have saved them from the flames, couldn't he? Of course he could have intervened and meant that they never got thrown into the flames in the first place. But he didn't. He saved them in and through the flames. He was with them in the fire, and he brought them out of the fire completely and utterly unscathed. He more often saves in and through the fire and the storm than from it. He more often guides our footsteps and holds our hand through the difficulties and the problems and the challenges than deliver us from them in the first place. Well, what did it show? Who was to deliver these men from the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar? Well, their God delivered them. It showed that the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego was indeed the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It showed that he was the living God. He wasn't some idol of gold. He was greater than any idol of anything that is made in all creation, because he was the author of creation. And what was the outcome? Well, it's an extraordinary thing, isn't it? This egotistical king, Nebuchadnezzar, said, I make a decree that nothing shall be said against this God, because there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. There is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Well, okay, let's think about our situation today. How does that bear any relevance to where we are in the 21st century? Or what are we being asked to bow down to today? There are many things that we're asked to bow down to. Secularism, humanism, liberalism, postmodernism, materialism, celebrity, all these and many, many more. Maybe in this day and age, this period that we're going through, fear and anxiety. It's not popular to be a Christian, even in an uncertain age, it's not popular. This society of tolerance is tolerant of everything except the belief that there is something to believe in, except the belief that there is an absolute. To worship God and refuse to bow down to the things of the world, to the created things, may make us unpopular. It may make us be ridiculed. It may mean that we don't get that job that we applied for. It may mean that we don't get that thing that we wanted. In some cultures in this world, it may mean that we're imprisoned, and it may mean that we're under threat of death. Not many of us, hopefully, have to go through the flames of a fiery furnace. But some may be threatened with death, and that culture may come to our Western world. But our God is able. Out of the uncertainty that we're in at the moment, out of the threat and the concern that we're in at the moment, our God is able. Not only is he able, but he's the living God, the living Lord Jesus Christ, who meets us in the middle of the storm, who meets us in the greatest challenge that we have, and that's our own sin, our separateness from God, because we've been cut off because of our own sin. He is not only able to deliver us, but he is the one who delivers us and gives us full and free salvation. The same Jesus who met Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the flames meets us at the point of our greatest need, and that's in our sin. He gives us full and free salvation. He pays the price for us, and he gives us cleansing and freedom and forgiveness with God. He secures us an eternity with him. Acts chapter 4 says this, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Who is able to deliver from the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar? Our God is able to deliver from the hands. Who is able to deliver from the hands of sin and death? Our God, our Jesus, is able to deliver from the hands of sin and death. And there is no one else. There is no other name given amongst men by which we must be saved. None of the other things that we might bow down to can save us, but Christ can. But whatever. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego had that extraordinary attitude, didn't they? Our God is able, but even if he doesn't, we aren't going to bow down. But whatever. Well, Joshua, again in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 24, coming to the ends of his life, he said this. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in a sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods of your fathers, your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord, serve Yahweh. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I pray that that's our answer when we're asked to bow the knee, when the band plays and we're asked to bow before that great idol. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are a God of all creation, that you are the living God. You are the one who saves. And Lord, we pray that even in our uncertainty in our faith, we would put ourselves in your hands. That Lord, you would make us your servants. Give us that confidence in you that you are able to deliver, that you are able to do abundantly more than we're ever able to ask or even think. And pray, Lord, like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and like Joshua, we would say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Take care all. Look forward to seeing you again on Sunday. Every blessing. See you soon.